Good morning. It is 16 minutes after 8 a.m. You're tuned to your community radio station, Raven Radio, KCAW in Sitka. And joining me in the studio of Ian Hudson. He's a presenter at the Ninth Paths Across the Pacific Conference. Ian has been studying ancient seafaring communities and global maritime exploration for quite a while now. And he's here to link the conference's theme, which is New Evidence, New Directions, with a couple of works. And he's going to talk about that this morning. Welcome to Morning Edition, Ian.
Good morning. Thank you very much for having me.
Well, thanks for coming over from London. And how are you settling in?
I'm settling in great, thanks. Having a lovely time. Yeah, it's a lovely place.
Well, can we talk a little bit about the concept underpinning the entire conference, which is ocean exploration and this alternative history of how the Americas were explored and settled?
Well, yeah.
In a nutshell.
I've spent the last 15 years working with a colleague of mine called Gavin Menzies, who had quite a big book that came out in 2002 called 1421, The Year China Discovered the World. The main theme running through this book was that the whole world had actually been charted before the European voyages of discovery took place. So in fact, all of the major European explorers that were taught about in school, like Columbus, Magellan, Da Gama, and Captain Cook, they all actually had maps and they knew exactly where they were going. So the question that we were trying to work out was who had actually carried out these feats of cartography and who had charted the world before Columbus.
I mean, that's stunning. Really stunning, and it completely runs counter to the sort of Eurocentric history that
very much so, yeah, very much so. And it's all what's so good is that it's all so easy to see. You can see these maps that were drawn hundreds of years before the Europeans got to these places. And if you visit our website, www.gavinmenzies.net, you can see that there's, you know, a wealth of all this kind of material. And so I'm going to be talking a bit about, we set up this website in 2002 in order to deal with all the new evidence that was coming into our office, because we knew there were thousands of people all over the world who were kind of in agreement that, you know, that the Western history we were taught at school is just, it's not quite right. There's something missing. So we set up this website, and we've developed this community of researchers, and over the years, we've written actually three more books since 1421, the last one being Who Discovered America? The Untold History of the Peopling of the Americas. And that was basically, it came about through all this new evidence we'd gathered over the years from researchers from all sorts of different types of disciplines. And ultimately, we realised that you're taught at school that the Americas were populated by people coming over the Bering Land Bridge, which happened is around 15,000 years ago, people migrating from Siberia across this land bridge to Alaska, and then all the way down from North America, all the way down to South America over thousands of years. And that's what we're taught in schools. But actually, it turns out from, you know, there's all sorts of evidence to prove it. It turns out that man had been in the Americas for thousands of years before the Bering Land Bridge theory. And only recently in this journal called Nature, they published a paper last week, which was very timely for PARTHS, that was basically saying that this Bering Land Bridge theory is defunct because the land bridge couldn't have sustained these migrations of humans. There wasn't enough vegetation to keep them alive. So it was basically suggesting that they must have come by a coastal route. And what we've been putting forward in our books is there was a coastal route, but there was also a sea route. You could make the most of Mother Nature's kind of abundance in currents and winds. And man had been harnessing the power of the ocean for thousands of years. And it was generally a lot easier to come by sea. You could have, there was fish, there was seaweed. You know, there was this kind of an ecosystem of the seaweed belts. So ultimately, it was a lot easier for man to come by sea. And the research that we've carried out and that we put in our books, they're four books, basically shows that there were multiple seaborne voyages to the Americas over thousands of years.
This must be a very exciting time for you because it seems to be becoming increasingly accepted point of view.
Yeah, that's correct. I've been very fortunate because I've kind of been working on this project for quite a long time. There are many people at PARTHS who would have been researching this stuff for twice as long as my life, I think, really. But in the last 15 years, because of the internet, it's been amazing the way that we've been able to share information and evidence and discuss it as well. So suddenly the kind of advances in technology have meant that it's getting easier to prove the point about transoceanic travel. It's very, very exciting time.
So this is what the focus of this conference is about, this new evidence and the new direction, sort of a preponderance of evidence that this is a very, very valid area of study here.
Yeah, very much so. No, it's great. I'm really looking forward to some of the talks because they're going to be done by some people who I've studied in the past. And yeah, it's great to finally meet Nancy after being in touch with her for over 10 years via emails. I'm hoping to learn a lot. And I hope people will come to my talks and find them of interest. And most importantly, I hope people will go to our website and look at all the information that we've accumulated there, and then email us and let us know what they think and whether they've found anything that they think might contribute to our research. Because I recently set up this thing called the 1421 Foundation, which is a 501, it's a US-based nonprofit that we're trying to establish a kind of tangible entity. Instead of just having this website, we want to go out and do new projects, including we have an exhibition on maps, like showing the evolution of world maps over the years. We've got kind of documentary ideas. We've got lots of interesting projects that we want people to get involved with and join us on this journey of research. We know there's still so many stones left unturned.
So let's talk a little bit about your talks. You'll be speaking on both books, but two different nights.
Yep. So the first talk's about 1421, which is this amazing armada of Chinese fleets that was commissioned by the Chinese emperor in the Ming dynasty. There were seven naval expeditions that were ordered with basically the view to go and send boats out around the world to go to the ends of the earth and to bring the world into this tribute system that China had established. And the admiral in charge of that was a eunuch admiral called Zheng He, who's this very famous seafarer who, he commanded, I think, 28,000 men at one point and had, they had 600 ships. Some of these ships, these Chinese junks, were up to 400 foot long, huge kind of wooden junks that could sail, sail the oceans. They had watertight bulkheads, so you could parts of the ship could be flooded effectively, and the boats could sail on. They had they flooded the holds actually with fish, so they had plants growing. They had animals. There was like a kind of floating city. They had horse ships. They had grain ships. They had water ships accompanying these massive treasure ships, and effectively, there's a huge fleet that had. They had the capacity to go and chart the world. And so the first half of the book is about the kind of background and why China would have wanted to go and chart the world. And the second book is about all this evidence we've accumulated, or we did accumulate back in 2002, showing how, these voyages could have been possible.
And then that talk is happening.
That's happening
tonight.
No,
tomorrow
I think
night.
It's possibly tomorrow.
We're going to take a quick look. It's happening tomorrow night.
Tomorrow, okay. Right?
And then on Saturday,
I'll be talking about Who Discovered America, which is the kind of, I guess, the culmination of all the research we've done in the last however many years, talks. There were voyages from Asia, but there were also, I think, voyages from Europe as well. And we talk about some of these settlements in the Americas that are much older than what history or the history we're taught at school would allow us to believe. I'll talk about a bit about the genetic evidence and the kind of tracing of diseases and parasites and plants and animals around the world, and how we got there, and what is the evidence. You have carvings in India, for example, of chilies, which we know are native to the Americas. We have carvings of sunflowers, of all these different types of plants, which you can see carved literally into temples in India, in Indonesia, all around the old world. And the question is, how could someone carve something so realistic without actually having seen it? And so that begs the question of how, these things must have been brought across the oceans from the New World back to the Old World before Columbus and before these amazing voyages of discovery that are highly kind of praised in schools. At least in England, we're always taught about Columbus and Da Gama, Magellan, and And I'll show you in my talks, we've got slides of some really, really quite cool maps that have, you know, drawn one map, Chinese map, showing the Americas from 2000 BC. One map that's Marco Polo's map, which a map that he was given that shows North America from around 1280. Lots of evidence.
That's Friday and Saturday. Two talks Friday and Saturday.
Yeah.
And folks can learn more at pathsacrossthepacific.org.
Great.
Okay.
Okay.
We are just about out of time. Any parting thoughts?
I would love to hear from listeners about what they think about the books, what they think about our website. I've been doing this for a long time, and it's more of a passion and a hobby now. It's something I really enjoy doing, and Gavin and I, we love hearing from people all over the world and seeing what they have to think and how they can contribute to our research.
Including oral histories too.
Exactly. Yeah.
Right. Well, thank you so much for joining us this morning, Ian.
Thank you very much for having me.
We've been speaking with Ian Hudson. He's presenting at the Paths Across the Pacific Conference. You can hear him tomorrow and Saturday, and you can find out more at pathsacrossthepacific.org.